Cultural subsidy is explanation to the crown. Section two, the denunciation of Pharisees in chapter 23, verses 13 through 36. And then number three, his lamentation over Jerusalem in chapter 23, verses 37 through 39. Jesus himself had come for a purpose. However, those who should have received him did not understand who he was and what his purpose was. But he still, in his grace and mercy, used these as opportunities to show them and us today what true religion is all about, what true religion is all about. And so let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. We'll read verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Can we get a volunteer to read this verse, please?
Yes, just speak to the multitude and to the disciples. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say, and do not do. Verse 4, for they bind everybody's heart to hear and lay them on their shoulder, but they themselves do not move them with one of their fingers. But all that work they do to be seen by men. They made their phylacteries broad and large, the border of their garments. They loved the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogue, written in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Verse 8, but you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
Thank you. So the king's denunciation, his explanation to the crowd. So this was the Lord's last public message. It is a scary denunciation of false religion that paraded under the guise of truth. Some of the common people, no doubt, were shocked at all his words that Jesus spoke, for they considered the Pharisees to be righteous people. Perhaps we should remind ourselves that not all the Pharisees were hypocrites. Not all of the Pharisees were hypocrites. Remember that there were about 6,000 middle class, 6,000 Pharisees in that day, and more who were followers, but not all full members of the group. And most of the Pharisees were middle class businessmen, and no doubt they were sincere in their quest for truth and holiness. So Jesus is not condemning everyone. The name Pharisee came from the word that means to separate. The Pharisees were separated from the Gentiles, the unclean Jews, who did not practice the law, and they called them publicans and sinners. You remember that? And for anyone who opposed the tradition that governed their lives. And among the Pharisees were a few who sought for true religion. Can anybody remember a famous Pharisee in the Bible? A famous Pharisee.
Paul,
yes. And who else in Jesus' day? Who else stands up? Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3? And then Joseph of Arimathea. He was also a Pharisee in John chapter 19, verses 38 and following. And the unnamed man mentioned in Mark 12, 32 to 34 comes in mind. Even Gamaliel showed a great deal of tolerance towards this newly formed church in Acts chapter 5. But for the most part, the Pharisees used their religion to promote themselves and their material gain. No wonder Jesus denounced them, and notice these three divisions in his message. So this first division is his explanation to the crowd. One of the things I want us to pay attention to, that even today, in religion, men still have this problem. We still have this problem. And we must be careful. We must be careful as Christians that we don't fall victim to this same mentality. And so, so Jesus in this section explained the basic flaws of the Pharisaical religion. They had a false concept, first of all, of righteousness. What is righteousness? What is the definition of righteousness? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is righteousness?
Right before God.
Right standing before God. Yes? Can you and I develop our own righteousness? No. Yeah? Because it says in Matthew 6:30, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because we in ourselves may think that I'm not got a problem. Isn't that right? You know, we convince ourselves that I'm better than, you know, I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as the other person. Yeah? And so you and I cannot develop our own righteousness, yes? And so to begin with, they have assumed an authority, not their own. Notice what Jesus says in verse 2. The scribes and Pharisees sit where?
Moses.
In Moses' seat. It's a literal translation. What is significant about sitting in the Bible? What is significant about sitting in the Bible? Authority, yes, that's good. Notice Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 1. Someone read it.
As in multitude, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, disciples came to him.
Yeah, so whenever a teacher taught, in those days, he would sit down. That meant he was getting ready to teach some discourse. And so these men, because the church had not come into existence, they were under the Mosaic law, they sat in Moses' seat, and as Brother Locke has rightly said, they wanted the authority. Yeah? And so sometimes there is no record in Scripture that God assigned any authority to this group. There is no record in Scripture that God gave the Pharisees authority over men. Yeah? And so their only authority, what's our authority today?
Bible.
The Word of God, Christ, yes. Right? Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 18, all authority has been given to who? To Jesus. In where? Heaven and on earth. So if Jesus has all authority, how much do you have? So man, these Pharisees were sitting in a place that God never authorized. We better be very careful to consider whether or not what we're doing in religion is authorized. Yeah? Everything we do in religion is not authorized. Isn't that right? But we accept it because you said, well, so-and-so say it, and they must know because they've been to school. You see, don't accept anything that I say from this pulpit or anybody else unless you can get what? Book, chapter, and verse. Book, chapter, and verse. I want you to prove it. Isn't that right? And so here was Jesus. Therefore, the people were to obey whatever the Pharisees taught from the word, but the people were not to obey the traditions and man-made rules of the Pharisees. Do we have traditions and man-made rules in the church?
Yeah.
A lot of them. Yeah? There's no authority for pulpit or for hymn books. Yeah? Why do we use those things? Why do we use these things?
Yes, for
necessity. Out of necessity. God tells us what to do, but he doesn't necessarily tell us how to do it. It makes sense? He leaves it up to man to figure it out. Yeah? And so as long as it doesn't go beyond Scripture, but here was the problem. He says here in verse 3, what's verse 3? Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but but do not do according to the works, for they will say and do not do. You know something? They want you to do something, but they're not doing it themselves. You ever met folks like that? They can tell you all of your problems, try to correct your mistakes, but they're not doing it themselves. In religion, in an interest, Jesus will never ask you to do more than he would do himself. Yeah? So if I'm trying to encourage you to do something, you should be saying, but are you doing that? Isn't that right? If not, I'm a what? Hypocrite. Right. Yes. You see, you knew that. To the Pharisees, righteousness meant outward conformity to the law of God. It was all on the outside. They ignored the inward condition of the heart. Religion consists in obeying numerous rules that govern every detail of life, including what they did with the spices and cupboards, in their cupboards. They had a law of everything, the Pharisees said he is. But legalistic religion always seeks to make burdens heavy. What is legalism? What is legalism?
Everything.
What's that?
Everything's
rule. You've got to have, everything has to be, it's a rule for everything. Everything's a rule. Yeah. And so what does that do? You almost become paranoid. Because now you say, well, is this right? You know, I can't do this, I can't do that. We spend so much time in Christianity telling folks what they can do, instead of telling folks what they can do. Isn't that right? And so that was the problem. Psalm 51 and verse 6 says what? Psalm 51, 6 says what? Psalm 51 and verse 6 says what? Verse 6.
It said, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts, you will make me to know wisdom.
Yeah. God desires truth where?
Inward parts.
What's the inward parts? That's our heart. We sing that song, is thy heart right with God? Washed in the cleansing blood. Cleanse and made who? Humble and lowly, right in the sight of who? In the sight of God. You see that? And so that's why, like when we take the Lord's Supper, First Corinthians 11, the one verse says, and let a man examine himself. Examine what? What he's wearing? No. Examine his heart. Examine his heart. You see? So it's not about being unworthy, because none of us are worthy. Right? But what's our motive? Why are we doing what we're doing? Do we have, is our heart in this thing? Yeah? So sometimes Christianity becomes, for some of us, a burden. Yeah. Sometimes it can feel like a burden, because it's almost like you're trying to push this rock uphill and I'm not getting anywhere. You see? And so the problem with these Pharisees, they had a false concept of righteousness, was that to preach one thing and practice another is only hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. You see that? We have a responsibility as Christians to examine one another. Isn't that right? We should be fruit inspectors. Where is the fruit? Okay? So that's the first thing. Secondly, they had a false concept of ministry. Service in verse 4. Someone read verse 4, Matthew 23, verse 4.
For they bind everybody's heart to bear and lay them on their shoulder, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers.
Will not move them with one of their fingers. You're right. To them, ministry meant handing down laws to people and adding to their burdens. In other words, the Pharisees were hard on others than they were on themselves. Anybody know anything about the Roman Catholic Church? Roman Catholic Church, anybody here? Ever Catholics? Tell me about the nuns. The nuns. Now you see those ladies,
and they got their black and white outfit on, and they look so pious. But what? How do they live? Do they live like us? Do nuns live like us?
No.
Why?
Because they are under authority.
Under authority. But don't you know those ones have heart is just like you and me? When they take their clothes off just like you and me, they get dressed just like you and me. And they sing just like you and me. And there's something. So because we have a concept of what religion looks like, and we say, man, I can't be like that. Isn't that right? And so guess what Jesus came to do? What did Jesus come to do?
To lighten
man's burdens. He said, Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm lowly and humble in heart, and I will give you what?
Rest.
So here Jesus is trying to lighten the load, and what were these men doing? So they're asking you to do something, and guess what they will need to do? They will need to lift their fingers. Is there any work in the church that's beneath you? Is there any work in the church that you think is you're not good enough for? Or you're better than to do? Clean the toilets, sweep the floor, move the chairs. You say, well, that's not me.
No.
And so here were these Pharisees parading around. Now, last week in the Catholic calendar was Lent. What happens during Lent? You fast, and then you saw the Pope. The Pope had all these folks sitting up on chairs at the Vatican. What was he doing? Washing their feet. Does God want us to wash people's feet? What was that?
Service.
Yeah, service. But he doesn't want us to literally wash people's feet. Yeah? Now does he do that all year round? No. He could just about get down on the floor. You see that? He said, that Pope is washing people's feet, but we should all do that. It means to refresh or lighten people's burden. Jesus said to go and do likewise, not literally. You see a need and you meet that need. Isn't that right? And that's what religion's about. And so they had a false concept of service or ministry. Jesus never asks us to do anything that he has not done first. The Pharisees commanded, but they did not participate. They were hypocritical religious dictators, not spiritual leaders. A leader always leads from the front. If nobody's following you, guess what you're not? If nobody's following you, guess what you're not? You're not a leader. Is anybody following you? Not on Facebook, Instagram, we're not talking about that. Amen. Say, man, I got 1,000, 10 million followers. Do you know all those people? No. You're more interested in what? The outward righteousness. I must be something. You don't know all those people, and they don't know you either. You see that? And so, all those folk that you're following, and you think they're living that glamorous life, they're not living that glamorous life. You don't know who that car is that they're standing in front of. Huh? You don't know whether or not they're really going on their holiday. Hey, man. You say, man, I want to be just like whoever. No. That's, and when it comes to religion, it's worse. Number three, they had a false sense of greatness. In verse 5 says, but all their works they do to be seen by who?
Amen.
By men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of the garments. What is a phylactery? In verse number 5. What's a phylactery? Anybody then?
It's something like something they put on their hands.
It's actually, but yes, or on the
forehead. Their head, yes. So that they write the quotation. quotations or the important quotations on
yes.
On other on their head or,
yes.
or on their
yes.
So I'm very
yes.
wherever they go
yes.
so that people
will see you. They see that he must be really religious. But what were they doing? They were making theirs real big. You ever said folk come to church, ladies, and you got a head and sisters gotta get a bigger head. Huh? Who do you dress up for church for? You don't dress up for yourself, man. You dress up to get noticed. See, man? Girl, I like your dress. I like your shoes. And so here they were making these phylacteries real big. Because I mean, he must be really religious. Huh? You see some of these priests and they got all this gold, you know, all of this stuff on, you know, a robe with a, and you say, wow, he must be really important. Huh? Then it says in verse 6, they loved the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogue, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. But you, verse 8, do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone our father, for one is your father, who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And so to them, success meant recognition by men and praise from men. Is that us? Do you like praise?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, we like praise. You did a good job. Huh? And so they want the best seats in the synagogue. That's my seat. Is this your seat? Do you get upset when someone quote unquote sits in your seat? Is that your seat? That's not your seat. That's not your seat. Because somebody was there before you got here. And when you're moving, guess what? Somebody's gonna sit in your seat. Anyway? Don't get upset. Huh? And y'all, you know how folks they come to church and they give you the eye? They give you the eye. And they go, what do I mean? Get in my seat. Huh? Is that what we do? Isn't that what we do? Huh? This is my parking spot. I always park here. This is where I leave my Bible. This is where I leave my...
Go with that.
What's it?
Go with that.
Yes.
Where's the humility?
What's it?
I said, even with that, where's the humility?
No humility. Well, we get all worked up. Maybe we get territorial. Pharisees here. And they like to pray for me. Good, good. Hello, Rabbi. Hello, Father. The Father, he spoke to me. Huh? Come and sit right here. I remember many years ago, I went to this gospel campaign. And here I come in. I'm the minister of a, you know, it was, come, you know, minister of the church. And I say, Brother Smith, come. Where do you want to seat me? Off the front. I said, no, thank you. No, thank you. I'll sit right up in the back here. Because I need to have my cup filled too. Remember? I don't need to sit up front. Huh? I'm not important.
But that's
the
guys.
What's that?
That's the guys.
Yeah.
They're not here to.
Oh, but you know that. You have to stop. Sometimes we have to save ourselves from ourselves. You know right?
Then you're wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it. Let me get that sister that's in the back serving and let me put her in that seat.
But they have to
yeah. Russia. Hey, you go to
get someone. Yeah, that's one.
That's humility. What did Jesus, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, what did he come in? Mercedes Benz. Huh? A Rolls Royce. He came to mama on a donkey. And whose donkey? A borrowed donkey. He was buried in whose tomb? A buried, a borrowed tomb. What they say to us? You gotta be careful. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it. Huh? If that's the only seat. Because you wouldn't have been able to play if they want to operate in the first class, I'm not telling you. I'll take it. We just came back on the easy jet. It's no class. Everybody's got the same class on the easy jet. I love it. I'm in the first class on the easy jet. It's a good old plane. It's the same thing. You know it going through. You see that? And so they were not concerned about the approval of God. They used their religion, I should say there, to attract attention, not to glorify God. Not to glorify God. And so, this even meant using religious ornaments to display piety. Phylacteries were small leather boxes in which the Pharisees placed portions of scripture. And so, they wore the boxes from their foreheads on the arms of the George, and in ritual obedience to Deuteronomy 6, verse 8, they increased the size of their tassels on the hems of their garments, in Numbers 15:38. They also thought that position was a mark of greatness, so they sought the best seats in the synagogue and the public dinners. Where a man sits bears no relationship to what a man is. Where a man sits, Who was it? Was it David? David said he would be okay if he was just a butler in the Lord's house. Is that right? I don't have to be the guest of honor. Just don't leave me off the invitation. You see that? Remember we talked about the parable of the divine dresser. God doesn't care about what you were called early in the morning or then at the 11th hour, because we all get the same reward. On that plane, Brother George, don't you know the hill plane arrives at the same time? First class don't get there 5 minutes before the rest of the plane. But folks are scrambling. What folks do? Soon as the seatbelt light goes off, what folks do? They're jumping up and they're trying to get to what? Get to the front of the line. You know what I mean, Brother Lucky? I'm happy to be first. You might have to be first. So, and they also thought that position was a mark of greatness, so they sought the best seats in the synagogue and the public dinners. They also thought that titles of honor were the mark of greatness. The title Rabbi means my great one and was coveted by the religious leader. Do people call themselves rabbis today?
Yeah.
Jesus said, don't do that. Don't do that. Do not covet that title. Yeah? Why? He says in verse number 8, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are what? You are all. What does that mean? Why do we call one another brother and sister? Amen. I like that. What's that? Equality. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. So if we're walking around and calling each other by our first name, hey Barbara, hey John, what makes us different from the world? We are all family. We are all a spiritual brotherhood. That's why we call one another brother and sister. We're watching more than the other person. But we use that as a sign of what? Of relationship. Relationship. We are all brethren. And so today religious leaders covet, that's what they covet. Honorary doctor's degrees. Doctor, reverend, Dr. Brother. Dr. Brother. Jesus forbade his disciples to use the title Rabbi because all of them were brothers. And Jesus alone was their teacher, according to Matthew 23 and verse number 8. He also forbade them to use the title Father with reference to spiritual things. Anybody call themselves Father? Father, so-and-so called me today. Is that right? Is that your father? No, that's not your father. Certainly, it's not wrong to call one's biological father by that name or by the name, but it is wrong to use it when addressing a spiritual. Are you the pastor? You ever heard of actually, are you the pastor? I'm not the pastor. Well, who are you? Went to a funeral many years ago. One of the sisters died. And we didn't have a full-time minister at the time. So about three or four brothers went down. We went down to the Anglican church because their building was bigger than ours. And the family specifically asked that the service be held down there. So out of respect, we went to the back room with the quote-unquote head of the Catholic church. And so we're sitting in his office. And he says, who's the pastor? Asking these four brothers, none of us. Well, who's in charge? None of us. He's walking away. Well, you don't have a pastor? No. No. Who's the reverend? None of us. We're all brothers in here. Huh? He opened up the safe to get some stuff. Oh, guess what was in the safe? A big bottle of rum was in his safe. You think he's sharing that with the rest of the church? I'm just saying. And so he says, Jesus says, verse 9, do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. And he says also, a third title that was forbidden was master or teacher. In verse 10, which means guide, instructor, or leader. And this is not the same word that's used or translated mass in verse 8. These are two different words. The word means teacher. This one. While this one means the one who guides or goes before and guides, a modern equivalent would be the word authority. And do not be called teachers. For one is your teacher, the Christ. What else does the Bible say about being teachers? What else does the Bible say about teachers? There's a warning to teachers in the Bible. Is it in James? Let not many of you become teachers. Why? You will be held at a stricter judgment. You see, the preacher, the teacher is paid to talk. And what you say matters. Huh? Because that's what people are going to do. They're going to judge you based on what you teach. Yeah? All of us are teachers in a certain sense. People are watching us. Your co-workers are watching you. Your family members are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. What do they see? What do they see when they look at us? Yeah? They're reading us. Is that what a Christian is? And so, he forbade the use of titles. Certainly it's not wrong. Again, Paul referred to himself as a spiritual father because he had begotten people through the gospel in 1 Corinthians 4:15, but he did not ask them to use that term when addressing him. And so God has placed spiritual leaders in the church. But they must not replace God in our lives. I am just the messenger. But guess what's going to happen? I'm going to mess up. I'm going to let you down. You're going to let me down. But guess what? God will never let us down. You see? That's why the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter, where's the Lord's Prayer? Matthew chapter 6. Begins what? Our Father. Our Father. Whose Father? Our Father. Yeah. And so it tells us who to address our prayer to. Not to me. You see that? So whenever we point people to someone, we should point them to God. Tell your children, listen, I'm going to let you down and you're going to let me down, but God will never let you down. You always find out what God wants. You see that? Always point them to God. A true spiritual leader directs his people into freedom and a closer relationship with Christ, not into bondage to his ideas and beliefs. True greatness is found in serving others. He said, Jesus said in Matthew 23, and verse 11, but he who is greatest among you shall be what?
Your servant.
Your servant. You know what stands out to me in my Christian life is when I saw someone doing what they've asked me to do. Yeah. We need to be soul winners. Well, I showed you. That's what Jesus did. He said, come, follow me, and what? I will make you fish. So he was right there. I'm going to show you. And then he left them and said, you got it, fellas. Take, it's yours. You see that? That's what a true leader. A true leader is an example to people. A godly example to people. Husbands, wives, children, neighbors, cousins, whoever, to the world. And so, true greatness is found in serving others, not forcing others to serve. Look at John 3:30. John 3:30. John 3:30. Says what? You know that verse. He must
increase.
And I must decrease. See, there's something in every last one of us, in every single one of us that want to make ourselves more important. Well, we have to fight that daily. You're running for the elevator. You get there and the door is closed, but there's somebody behind you. What are you going to do? What do you do? You say, well, I got a little. I'm in a hole, and I'll work today, and they can get the next elevator. He must increase. I must decrease. That's tough. That's tough. That means you've got to be deliberate. Huh? Because we are supposed to be religious people. We're supposed to be examples to go. We're all there to look at us and say, man, I want to be like that. True greatness is not manufactured. It comes from God as we obey him. And he says, Jesus says in Matthew 23, in verse number 12, what does verse 12 say? Here's a warning.
So he said to him, friend.
Look at 23, verse 12.
Okay. And whoever has exalted himself will be humbled, and he will humble himself will be exalted.
Yeah. As Brother Paul would say, take load. He who exalts himself, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be humble. Yeah. And so sometimes we have to help people up. You know, that brother's trying to do a good thing. Come on. Come sit up in front. No, that's okay. I'll be okay just right here. You give that seat to somebody else. Some elderly member, someone that perhaps doesn't have as much as me. You see, you don't have to grab everything. You don't have to have everything. You see? My aunt used to always say, man appoints, but God disappoints. Yeah? Because in our quest for greatness, sometimes that's when we lose ourselves. Even in religion. People lose themselves. They can be sick, okay? And good intentions, we can all start off that way, but after a while, what happens when we start seeking after power? Power corrupts our thinking. Yeah? Jesus talked about money. Over and over. He said what? The love of money is the root of all evil. Maybe God wants you to be poor. You know why? Because he wants you to stay close to him. You see? Not everything is for everybody. And given the church. Remember? So we're trying to find that balance. Yes.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for this point you are making. Just to help call this point louder is the fact that the Church of Christ is a small sector of what we call Christendom. We all interact with people all around the world and see them, how they worship, and how they exalt their pastors and bishops. So I hope and believe that with this enlightenment, we can see that they are all wrong, because oftentimes we still go ahead and follow them and still don't condemn what the Bible says is wrong. And even in within ourselves, it also goes further to show that no one has authority over another. We are all Christians, whether you're a brother or you are a sister, whether you are elderly or you are younger, whether you are a minister or you are a bishop or an elder, we are all brothers. And there's someone who used to make a saying that we were first Christian before we become, whether you are husband or you are wife or you are a minister or an evangelist. So it's just to put it in context of our lives, because it happens every day and yet we ignore it.
And there's a word there as well on that. We need to, the Bible talks about when Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. We must honor one another, you know, the elderly or the older members, you know, we have a responsibility to honor them, but we must be careful. We don't exalt them in places that God has not worshiped. Yes, Brother Chris.
Yeah, the same thing for what you are saying, because and now honor to our church leaders and those who teach us, it's not wrong. But doing it too much, because too much of everything is bad. Because if you see the Pharisees, the set of Pharisees, the motive they formed that set was not wrong. Because when they went to Babylon, captivity, because people are ignoring their tradition, their religion, and this set came together and formed this because they say, no, we have a religion, something you worship, you have God and you worship. So these Pharisees are, their intention, how they started was very good. So people respect them. Even Jesus, as to Matthew 23, say, what they are saying, you have to obey it. But they are doing is wrong. So it came to a time where they praised them as God, you see. And they also accept that prison. That is the mistake, you see. So gradually, it moved them from the motive of protecting God's way, rather being a place in God. So praising somebody who is leading, like our leader, church leaders, everything, it's an honor you are doing to God. But how do you do it?
It's a movie.
Yeah, it's a caution that don't do it too much so that the person will lose, because we are all human beings.
Good point. And then also, you remember in John 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He came humbly to God, and he called him. How did he address Jesus? Rabbi. You see? And Jesus accepted that.
Yeah.
You see, because he is a rabbi. And so there's a place, there's a time and a place for everything. And so God is not condemning the action, he's condemning the motive. And this is what we're talking about. They had a false concept of what true religion is. And so for us, it's a matter of examining ourselves. Why am I doing this? You see? And even in the church, there's really checks and balances. So we need to ask ourselves the question, is this going too far? Because we can start off good and get completely off the rails at times. May God bless you.
Next week, we'll pick up in verse number 13. Yes, Sister Linda and then